If you love Christmas, then all your Christmases have come at once.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas!
This is Christmas Podding, the podcast dedicated to all things Christmas.
Rudolph, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Now you're all downloaded, let's talk about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton. This is Christmas Podding.
Hello everyone, thanks for joining us and welcome along to Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Vanessa and we talk all things Christmas. We're Australia's only Christmas podcast. So much to talk about on this week's show. Vanessa, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Great to be back on the pod.
August. We're actually in the zone. In a week's time, people will be putting up their Christmas lights around. September's the month for putting up your lights.
They will. The shops will be preparing their spaces, getting that ready for the big Christmas displays.
You'll find the end of September is when stuff starts rolling out in stores. So we are definitely in the zone. There's a lot to talk about on this week's show. Have you ordered a Christmas hamper or are they just a thing of the past? We'll find out. Plus, how do you agree on a Christmas family movie on Christmas Day? We'll give you some tips a little later on the show. Let's start with Christmas breakup. Worst timing ever or a clever exit strategy? We have talked before on the pod about proposals on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I did read a stat recently that said that's the number one day of choice for proposals. Like when you narrow down.
I don't understand.
I would have thought Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Christmas Day has overtaken Valentine's Day. But people are breaking up at Christmas, or when I say Christmas Day, in that period of the year. So do you hold off until January, or do you rip the Band-Aid off and say, look, I was thinking of going anyway. It's December 16. Sorry, we're cutting and running. Is it bad timing?
That is a very tough question to pose. I think it is bad timing because for me, Christmas is about the feelings and the traditions and the associations that we have. And so it's like we have also talked previously about when somebody sadly dies around Christmas time and do you leave a spot at the table and, you know, the way that your memories affect that Christmas then. I just think I just wouldn't want to associate Christmas forever with that year of heartbreak. Mm. I just feel like it would bring a dampener to the ongoing memories of going, oh, I remember hanging this bauble the day we split up and, you know,
You wouldn't move on?
Well, I just think that, Christmas is its own thing with its own feelings, its own emotions and its own traditions and memories. And I think it's a shame to if that does become associated with something really sad.
Here's why it's good. You're surrounded by family and friends. You're going to be supported if you do make the decision. It's not a great time to do it. I mean, there is going to be a level of sadness, but I reckon a December breakup's better than a November breakup because then you just got more and more time to think about it. At least you've got people around you. You'll be spending the time with your family anyway. Look, it's never great, but I think there might be a bit of merit in it. Why wait? Don't wait just because it's Christmas. Like, if you're going to break up, you're going to break up.
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you my Christmas breakup story?
You've got one?
Absolutely.
Do you?
Absolutely.
What?
Long time ago, 23rd of December, got dumped.
Oh, no. And you got dumped.
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, look, here's what it did. I hadn't bought their present yet, and I was going to buy it on the 24th. Didn't.
Well, that was lucky.
Didn't buy it. Saved me.
Dodged a bullet.
Saved me a lot of money, it did.
But did it then bring some really sad memories ongoing?
No. Never. Haven't thought about it since. Maybe for a few.
Well,
there's the feelings of breaking up. So that lingers. That's just normal. That's a normal process, whether that takes you, months or years or whatever. But it didn't tarnish Christmas. And now it's just become a cool story.
Was it a long-term relationship?
Yeah, a little while. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a new story.
Have I never
to
told
me?
You this story?
No.
Yeah, the 23rd breakup.
Oh, it's really hard.
I don't think so.
But you're the one saying it's fine.
I think people just move on. It's like
all right.
It's like any other day.
Well, you're the one who can speak from experience. So
it is funny how I do remember the date, though. But maybe because it was so close to Christmas is why I remember the date.
That's true. Because you might not remember the dates of any other breakups through the year.
Yeah. Well, you're assuming that I've had more.
Well, you know, you've had a few girlfriends along the way.
Have I?
I know you have.
Have I?
Yes.
I think you know a few of them, actually.
Yes.
Anyway, lots more to talk about.
Yep.
And thankfully my wife doesn't listen to the podcast
yet.
Hang on, we're on our way to Christmas down Weird Town. So there you go. Yep. Other stuff to talk about. Let's move on.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. We talk all things Christmas. It's so good to have you along joining us this week, wherever you may be. Tell your friends about the show because we're on all year round. This is an all-year podcast and we could talk about Christmas every day of the week. We pretty much do. Christmas hampers. We're a few months out. Is this a thing of the past or is there an appeal to getting a basket of exotic nuts, weird branded biscuits and jams you would never have thought you could make jam out of?
I know.
You know, people actually pay up. You know, for these hampers along the year, something massive arrives in December. Is it still a thing?
Look, I don't think it's a bad present because it's a practical present. Food items are always going to be used. So I think in that regard, a hamper is practical because it's not just a useless item that's going to get thrown in the bin or sit on the shelf. But I do find them, A little bit overpriced.
Absolutely.
And B, you are always stuck with random things that you would never normally buy or eat. So I do often, if I sometimes think about a hamper, I then look at it and I go, well, I could buy that from Aldi for $10, you know, and they want to charge me $50. Mm. I mean, they shrink wrap it in the plastic, which I guess gives it, you know, the next level. But
hear me out. I have never, ever, ever received a hamper I've liked. Every hamper I've ever gotten, I've had them as gift baskets at Christmas from friends. I've had them as bonuses from bosses before. Oh, we've put you a big hamper. Really? I've never opened a hamper and thought, wow, what an array of assortment of fantastic gifts and goodies. They're always dud. They're brands you don't know. There's always some sort of German shortbread that you've never heard of.
No, but the shortbread's nice.
I'm not saying they don't always taste nice. Yeah. They're just weird. There's never anything in it that you must. There's never a must have in a hamper. It's a bit like a bonbon. You don't need what's in a bonbon, although bonbons are exciting. You at least look at that hamper and go, nuts from where? Guatemala?
You also can't guarantee the quality. Like, I know I've had a hamper before where the chocolates were just really bad.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I wish I'd just had a box of Lindt, you know?
Hampers were invented to offload products that the shops couldn't sell. That's what they are there
for. That's a fair theory.
Those are the pre-bought ones. Now, you can get those hampers that you pay throughout the year where you actually get decent ham and store-bought products. That's just a way of force saving. So I'd do the exact same thing, but put, as we said a few weeks ago, put the $5 in an envelope every week. I do agree with that. Those hampers are actually just a great way if you can't save or you're a bit tight with cash. Put your $10 aside every week. That's not a bad idea. But just do it yourself if you can trust yourself.
Well, yeah, you do need the discipline to do that. But that's right. If it's going to mean that you are only buying what you need, what you know you will use, what you know you like and will eat, then, yeah, you're actually going to save yourself a lot of money.
I'm putting a big cross beside the hampers this year.
That's a no from us.
Don't give them as a gift. I'll tell you one thing that I do like about hampers. I'll take it back. I often break up hampers and take them as goodies and treats when I go visiting at Christmas time.
A thank you gift, yes.
Well, not even, just something. Oh, we brought some crackers.
Yes.
From Somalia. What? I haven't heard of Somalia water crackers before. Okay. You know what I mean?
What about if I was to put together a handmade hamper?
Very different.
So if it was homemade jam homemade relish and then I added some of the crackers from Aldi and nice chocolates, is that a tick?
Very different to a store-bought hamper.
You don't think it's kind of being a bit dodgy? Like,
in what way?
Oh, I just mean like, oh, you were too stingy to spend $50 on the hamper, so you've just spent $10 on putting it together yourself.
No, I think you get more value.
You think it's
hampers
better?
Hampers are overpriced.
Yeah.
So okay, it's a big
well, that's good to know.
To know from us on the Christmas hamper.
We're talking all things Christmas. You've downloaded Christmas Podding, a podcast that celebrates Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Look, we talk all things Christmas. Our names are Liam and Ness, and it's really nice to have you along. Please, if you can give us a rating, we would appreciate that. We're Australia's only Christmas podcast. Jump online, give us a rating. A bit of comment would be nice. We really appreciate that. The Christmas designated driver has come up in conversation. How do you come to an agreement over who will and won't drink at Christmas time? Who draws the short straw in your house? You meet up with your three sisters Someone's got to drive you home. Mm. Do you actually sit there and say, hey, I won't drink this year? Do you actually draw that straw, or do you all play it in moderation?
Yeah, I guess this is something depending on your circumstance. I mean, if this is just with your spouse and you know you've got four events to go to over the next 2 weeks, you split it down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is an element of, I think at Christmas time we shouldn't get too crazy anyway. I think it's astute. I mean, we've got so many events on, so many catch-ups, so many celebrations. I think it is astute to monitor your alcohol intake anyway. So that's not a bad thing to do, even if you are not the designated driver. But I think, you know, if it's a one-off with your girlfriends, we're all going out here, you got to flip a coin.
Someone's got to miss out.
Someone's got to miss out.
Do you think that impacts the night? I mean, are you the sad Sally in the corner that's not enjoying yourself as much?
It's Christmas. You just find some Christmas cheer and know that next year it won't be you.
I think it's also the time when you possibly want to splurge a little. Like, okay, fork out for an Uber.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, why does one person have to miss out? Surely you can fork out for an Uber. And if it's a family activity, where else have you got to be? Apart from maybe going home, but surely you can, over a 5 to 6 hour period, hey, have a couple at the start, have none for the last half, and you should be right. Surely you can, if you're going to be at your family's house, you can stay there later. There's no rush to leave. Why does everyone have to miss out? It's tough when people miss out. This is the time to let your hair down.
This is where the Christmas sleepover comes in handy, doesn't it? As we spoke about in a previous podcast, why we do or don't like to stay over at our relatives' places, you know?
I would rather not drink than have a Christmas sleepover. I'm driving.
Oh, you're a Grinch.
Have you ever had one?
Nah.
Oh, I mean, I've done it at the in-laws, and it actually was, you know, we're not staying for one night, we're staying for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's all part of the experience.
And it is nice in that situation to be able to stay up, have a glass of red wine together, no one has to rush off.
I'll be honest with you, Ness and I are both parents. It depends if you've got kids or not. If you're having a sleepover and you don't have kids, that's a dud idea. But when you've got kids and the grandparents, it's the best thing ever. Yeah. It's like, yep. See you in 36 hours.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, where are you going? Just going to be...
See ya.
I'm just going to be around. I'll be out the back on my own. Speaking of drinking at Christmas, let's get into a Christmas dilemma.
The most wonderful time of the year starts with a Christmas podcast. You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast where Christmas calls home, with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Yeah, our names are Liam and Ness. This is Christmas Podding. Okay, we were just talking about the designated drivers at Christmas. Here's a Christmas dilemma. You take a nice bottle of wine to a Christmas do. Do they have to open it there in front of you? Or, like I've heard and seen people do before, oh, thanks very much. That $15 bottle of wine is going into my wine rack and I'm going to open the $7 bottle of wine that I bought for tonight anyway. Do they have to open the Christmas wine in front of the person that bought it, or can they save it for another time?
This is such a dilemma, and I've been on both sides of this, so I am really torn about it because, I've absolutely taken the nice bottle and been like, I really hope we open this because this is my favourite wine.
Yes.
I want a glass of this. But I've also been on the other side where people have brought wine. Great, thank you. Hey, I've already got an open bottle in the fridge. We might as well drink this first. And then, you know, whether you get to the other one or not, or somebody else opens their bottle, you know, and that one does get left behind. So, I mean,
because you tend to splurge a little more going to a Christmas do. You might buy the $15, the $20 bottle when normally you're buying the $10 bottle of Jacob's Creek or the $7 bottle of whatever. So you do spend a little bit more. I think you need to be a bit ballsy about it and be a bit more calculated. If it's a gift, all bets are off. Hey, here's a gift, a bottle of wine. Thank you. I will take my gift and do with it what I like later.
Yeah.
If you're just bringing it along with some other food, hey, here's a bottle of Coke, here's a bottle of wine, and a packet of Jats, and basically walk in and say, where's your bottle opener? Like, you need to walk in and open it as you're walking in the door.
Okay, so just take the initiative. Yeah, I don't think there is a rule on this, but I think hopefully...
It does annoy people, though.
Hopefully at Christmas time, we are around friends and family who we are quite close with, and... You know, you're right. Let's have some Christmas honesty. I know you love your Christmas pardon and telling people like it is at Christmas time.
The two are very different.
You do.
A Christmas pardon is me forgiving someone at Christmas time. Okay. That's different to Christmas honesty. Okay. That's different to me saying, by the way, you've upset me this year is very different to I'm going to secretly forgive Robert. for being a knob for the last 4 years.
Sorry, I'm getting my Christmas concepts all mixed up. But I would hope that at Christmas time we can have the kind of friendships or family relationships where we can say, brought this, I'd love to try it. Mm. Where's your bottle opener?
Yeah, hey, look what I bought us.
And just, I mean, you don't want to be harbouring any ill thoughts at Christmas time.
It's as easy as being that honest. Hey, yeah. Guys, I bought this for us. I know we're going to love this. Oh, I've been dying to try this. Let's crack it open.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea. All right, hope that one settled that one for you. Coming up next, Christmas movies. How do you decide on one for Christmas Day? We'll give you some tips in just a second.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
This is Christmas Podding. Our name's Liam and Ness. We talk all things Christmas. There's a whole back catalogue of this podcast. We're Australia's only Christmas podcast. If you want to go back and listen to previous episodes, we're just talking Christmas all year.
That's what we do.
The topics are endless. Yeah. We literally could talk about it all year, and we do. Christmas Day rolls around. You have to pick a family movie. How do you decide on the Christmas family movie viewing? Now, long-time listeners of this podcast will know that this is our favourite Christmas movie.
This holiday season, I'm picking up good vibrations. Join this unforgettable filmmaking team.
Welcome, Prime Minister. This is Natalie.
Hello, David. I mean, sir.
20 years ago, you'd have been just his type.
Does Natalie live here?
All you need.
Oh.
Hello.
Is love, actually.
Are you singing carols?
I suppose I could.
Please, sir, please.
You cannot show love actually at a family Christmas do. There are just a couple of, it's probably 3 minutes in the whole movie that wrecks it for the kids. I'm sorry, I love that movie. It's my favourite movie of all time.
It's the best, I know.
But it's not as family friendly as it could have or should have been. Yeah. Actually, I'm really angry at Richard Curtis, the director, that he hasn't released a G-rated version.
Yeah, that's a good point actually.
What are they, just put a G-rated out.
I know, because I would love to share a lot of that movie with my kids, but you're right, like it's off limits.
Until they're 18.
For now. Yeah.
Maybe 16, but there's no way I'm showing them the greatest Christmas movie of all time. What's your next pick? How do you decide on a family Christmas movie that the whole family can sit down and watch?
Yeah, I think our family pick is Elf. We always have a good laugh. You know, I love a Christmas comedy.
So overrated.
No.
Yes.
It's a great one. Like, he's so funny.
He is funny.
You know, you just have a laugh. I like it because it's lighthearted.
It is lighthearted.
And it's fun. I'll tell you my runner-up is Christmas Chronicles, which is a newish one, and it's about these...
Rings a bell?
Brother and a sister, and the dad died, and the mum is out working on Christmas Eve, and the kids see Santa on the roof, and they go on a bit of an adventure. Have you seen it?
I don't think I've seen it.
I think it's on Netflix. I think it was just
is the weekend's activity taken care of?
You are sorted.
We watch one every weekend.
So that's a great one as well, like just, a fun family experience.
I get annoyed at the TV stations. Start writing this in your diary. Every Christmas night they show National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which is, if I'm being honest, probably up there in the top five Christmas movies of all time. It's worldwide accepted and loved. It is a good movie. It's a funny movie. I'd never understood why they played on Christmas night because it's a Christmas Eve type of movie.
Yeah.
I kind of feel Christmas night, like I'm packing up.
Yeah.
Like I'm winding up the tinsel on Christmas
all
night.
All your stuff's done. You've done all your build up, your preparation. Yeah.
Too late. I'll put this down as my vote for Christmas Day.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year.
Last Christmas, I was really sick and almost died.
Save me from tears.
I don't tell people because they get weird.
I'll give it to someone special.
Last year's Christmas movie of choice, Last Christmas.
Oh, we loved that.
That was a close second for me behind Love Actually. I did love that movie. What's the main character? Emilia Clarke.
Yeah.
She's brilliant in that.
She's so good.
It's a really good family movie. I think it was an instant modern day classic, if you can't agree on anything else. Although, can I put it out there? I have heard a whisper that there's a plain version of Love Actually. When I say plain version, there's a version kicking around they show on airplanes. Mm-hmm. If you've ever noticed, nearly all movies and airplanes have to be PG-ish.
Yeah, there's some sort of regulation.
They've got to be fairly generic. Or they cut scenes out. They cut out any of the death, any of the gore.
Yeah.
You won't see a plane crash on a plane movie.
Yes.
So there's a version kicking around of Love Actually that is family friendly.
It's out there.
I'm dying to find
it. Come on.
Yeah. I had a friend that had a copy. And they wouldn't burn, like I said, oh, can I get a copy? They wouldn't burn it for me. I'll buy it off you.
What kind of friend is that?
Name your price. I don't like burnt movies, but I wanted that movie.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
So, If you've got some suggestions, go to our Facebook page. We would love to know what family Christmas movie you're going to watch this year. Coming up real soon, when to take down the Christmas decorations, we have the official answer up next.
We're talking all things Christmas. You've downloaded Christmas Podding, a podcast that celebrates Christmas, with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Right now on iHeartRadio, Santa's favourite Christmas podcast, Christmas Podding. Join Liam Renton and Ness Gibson as they talk all things Christmas every week from now until Christmas Day.
Bublé comes out of the cave this time every year.
Out of hibernation.
Best meme ever. Michael Bublé calls out of the cave, sings a few tunes and cracks back into the cave.
Taking care of Christmas and doing it right. Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. Be good.
Listen online or download it now.
This is Christmas Podding. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Our names are Liam and Ness. We'd love to know what you think of the show. You can just leave us a rating or a comment on our Facebook page. We're doing episodes basically every week between now and Christmas, so we're talking Christmas all year round. When do you officially take down your Christmas decorations? This one surprised me. We're a December 26th family.
You go straight away, I know.
It's early. It is early, but it's because my daughter's born on January 1. We clear the house, and then it all becomes about her for a couple of days. And that includes the lights as well. Take the lights down. It's all over for me Christmas night.
Yeah, mine don't hang around for too long. As you know, I get the tree up very early, often in September.
You front load Christmas, yeah.
Yes, I do. And so, yeah, I do find by the time Christmas rolls around, within a week, mine's down as well.
January 5 is the official date. Found this the other day. It's the day following the 12th night of Christmas. So they call it Epiphany. And that was the day, if we a bit of a history lesson here, that's the day that the wise men went and saw baby Jesus. So they went on the 13th day. It was the night after the 12th night.
Okay.
Which is where the term 12th night of Christmas comes from.
Right.
So they're now saying that that's the date. January 5 is the date. And I think this comes from the Church of England website. If you're looking for a day, there's a historical debate whether it's the 5th or the 6th, but it's the first week of January is when you're... That seems a long time after Christmas, doesn't it? Still up for New Year's. The decorations are up for
almost
New Year's.
Almost 2 weeks then. Yeah, you're right. It does encompass New Year's. But, you know, I think people all have their own different things depending on when they're going away or when they're coming back. And, you know, there's a lot of factors.
Is there any merit to keeping your decorations up for New Year's? Or are they just in the road?
I don't think they're in the road, nor do I think they have to be there for New Year's. I think that's just a personal call.
I'm funny about the decorations, yet I'll still listen to Christmas music well into January.
Oh, you watch movies all year round.
All year round.
We have the podcast all year round.
There is no right or wrong, but if you're looking to solve the argument, they're saying the 5th or the 6th of January. Coming up to wrap up the show, a new Christmas tradition. We'll tell you about that next.
The most wonderful time of the year starts with a Christmas podcast. You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast where Christmas calls home, with your hosts Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Yeah, this is Christmas Podding. Our names are Liam and Ness, and we're just so chuffed that you listen to the show. Thank you. We've had thousands of downloads of this podcast. We are surprised at how much you like the show, so thank you very much
for listening. Yes, we appreciate it.
Let's talk our Christmas traditions for Christmas 2020. Stole this from the Beckham household. So David Beckham, Victoria Beckham do this. They now have a Christmas tradition of making a family gingerbread house.
Love it.
They've posted it online. They do it every year. And in their own words, we have failed dismally at this year-round tradition. Now, this young lady in front of me right now has conquered it many times. Is the family gingerbread tradition worth the effort?
It's one of my favourites. You know I love the gingerbread house.
Take me through it.
I do make it every year. I've got a secret though, and I have had failures in the past, which is why they are quite good now.
But is a failure really a failure when you've got this bowl of beautiful gingerbread crushed up with icing and chocolates? Like, it sounds amazing.
You can't lose.
Yeah.
No, you can't lose. What I use is a gingerbread house mold. So we're talking silicon, like a muffin pan, whatever, a silicon mold
for
that
gingerbread.
You press your gingerbread into and bake in that. So it means you're not having to do the whole process of rolling it, it really even.
It's bake and assemble.
Getting it the right thickness, cutting it, having uneven edges.
Yeah,
this just gives you even thickness, straight edges and detail as well.
So it's bacon erect. You just bake it and put it together and assemble.
And then you just, pop it up with icing and then you just decorate it.
When have you failed? Or when hasn't it worked?
So I undercooked the roof pieces. They were a little bit thick and a little bit undercooked.
You're right.
And the roof just completely caved in.
Did it.
There was nothing I could do to save it. So that has happened. So now I just make sure I do the roof a little bit thinner and I just cook it for an extra 5 minutes to just get it a bit more on the dark side.
The mother-in-law made one a couple of Christmases back and we watched the kids assemble it, and like you said, with all the decorations and all the icing, and it was just an absolute mess. Like it was not a pretty gingerbread house. But what was amazing was getting some sort of tool out of the third drawer down in the kitchen, maybe a rolling pin, and cracking the top of that gingerbread and just watching it collapse.
Yeah. You know, what I've done too in the past is let the kids have one that they decorate and they can put what, it's like our two tree concept.
You have the good one.
Exactly.
And the kids
one. So go crazy, kids, you do that. And then I have one that I like to do myself and decorate it I like.
So how do you do it differently to the kids? Is it all about precision for you? It has to be perfect?
Oh, it's colour schemed and, the things are all placed very carefully around.
Yeah. I was going to say, I can't believe you make two, but then I thought, no, I can actually believe that you would make two. Yeah. It is like the double tree. If you're new to the show, we're big on having two trees.
Mm.
You have the tree with the colour scheme and all the good decorations.
Yep.
Then you have the dud one out the back or in the kids' bedroom where
Correct.
You're just happy for it to be a mess and don't, okay. So why should people be doing this new Christmas tradition this year?
Well, it's a great bonding time. Mm. It's something fun. We've done it over several years now and I like to time lapse it on my phone.
Yeah,
film it in a time lapse. And so it's really good fun to look back over. And then you can also see the tradition through the years. So one year I did a Frozen theme and I got the little characters.
Yeah,
and so we had Elsa and Anna and, that kind of colour scheme. And then, there's times when they just go completely lolly crazy and just do it. But you can see it kind of improving over the years as their skills get a little bit better as well.
I love it. If you've got any photos, whack them up on our Facebook page. We'd love to know if you've started the same Beckham tradition of doing a family gingerbread house. We're going to wrap up this edition of Christmas Podding up next.
You're listening to Christmas Podding, a podcast all about Christmas with your hosts, Ness Gibson and Liam Renton.
Yeah, this is Christmas Podding. We're about to say goodbye for another episode. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with a brand new ep. We're talking all things Christmas. You won't believe what we'll have for you next week's show. The greatest, most given Christmas gift of all time has been revealed. More men have received this gift than any other gift in the history of Christmas.
What?
When I heard what it was, I thought, I've had that about 10 times and have never regretted getting it. I've loved it. Every year I'm like, yeah, thanks, man. That's cool.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's fantastic. We'll get to that on the next edition of Christmas Podding. We like to wrap it up with a Christmas song that we have sung. This is us. We built out a few. I don't want to blow our own trumpet, but we put out two Christmas EPs. There's 2,000 of those CDs kicking out somewhere.
2,000?
I know.
Wow.
1,000 every.
Where are they?
It was 1,000 for the first. Yeah. You haven't even got one, have you?
No, I don't. I don't know where mine ended up.
I've got one of each. Yeah. Every time I go to a Salvation Army or a secondhand shop, I look for it.
I think people would actually just throw it out rather than give it to the op shop.
No. They're prized possessions.
Okay.
So this is us singing something Christmassy. We want to thank you for listening. Make sure you download previous episodes. And join us again next time. We love talking all things Christmas. As we like to say, it's never too early.
Never too late.
To wish someone a Merry Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. But the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
Once bitten and twice shy, I kept my distance, but you still catch my eye. Tell me, baby, do you recognize me? Well, it's been a year, it doesn't surprise me. Merry Christmas, I wrapped it up and sent it with a note saying I love you, I meant it. But now I know what a fool I've been. But if you kiss me now, I know you'd fool me again.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. But the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears,
I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
A crowded room and friends with tired eyes. I'm hiding from you and your soul of eyes. My gosh, I thought you was someone to rely on me. I guess I was a shoulder to cry on, a face on a lover with a fire in his heart, a girl on a cover, but you tore her apart. Maybe this year, maybe this year, I'll give it to someone special.
'Cause last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.